5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So they counted the strip and Xavien Howard, Hizzy, the recovery and the touchdown. Here's Pitt at the buzzer. Oh, knocked down on the Hail Mary to the end zone. So they're going to go to overtime at Heinz Field between Pitt and North Carolina. So you got the cover at 6.5 with the heels no matter what. Boom. And now it's the Dolphins up 15-3 on the Ravens in the fourth quarter at Hard Rock. Can you even believe it? What did you think? Did you think that was a catch, strip, touchdown, or did you think they got lucky with the call?
No, I thought it was a good call. I thought that he had it. He took a couple steps there, and they ship him and then pick it up and go the other way. I think that, you know, Watkins did have possession on that one. You know, though, it's always, you know, hazy with the whole making, you know, it used to be the old making a football move or how many steps count, all this other stuff. To me, he caught that. He possessed it. He turned up field, and then he lost it.
Wow. So how about the Ravens in all kinds of trouble here tonight? They're down 12 right now with, you know, 10 minutes to go, whatever it is. I mean, I know there's I got to see how much time's left in that. It's 11 and a half minutes.
You got to think if you took the Dolphins like you did, that you're good now too, right? Because you'd have to score 20 points in 12 minutes from Baltimore, who's put up nothing all game in order to cover that.
Yeah, they're not covering 8.5, right? And I just hit the heels. That 6.5 is a done deal, right? I mean, what are they playing overtime? They're going to play if they score, right? Then they do 2-point conversions, don't they? I mean, that game's not over yet. I guess I can't count that yet.
No, because I think the first two possessions in overtime are still just like it was. And then if you get past those two, then it's just a 2-point conversion play over and over again.
Right, but the first one, if you score a touchdown, you kick a field goal, it's 7 points, right?
Right, right.
Right, so right now it's tied, and I'm getting 6.5. So I need them to I can't have Pitt score and kick a field goal or kick an extra point and go up 7, right? That's not good. So I still need to have that play out, see how it ends up at Heinz Field. But 11.5 left, and the Dolphins are kicking off, and that ball is going to go out of bounds. No, it made it all the way to the end zone. There you go. A sidewinder made it all the way to the end zone. So the Ravens will take over, and down 12. They've been down. Week two, they were down 35-24. They won 36-35 against the Chiefs. Week five, down 22-3. They won 31-25 in overtime against the Colts. And then last week against Minnesota, down 24-10. They went 34-31 in overtime. It's unbelievable to me. All their double-digit, three double-digit comeback wins for the Ravens is unbelievable this year to me. Bottom line is they should have lost all three of those games. They wouldn't be sitting there 6-3. They'd be 3-6. I mean, it's unbelievable to me the luck they're having.
And two of those three were primetime games, too. I think those first two. The last week, they were obviously on a Sunday. But the one against Indy, I remember watching with Carver, where Indy was, you know, we were doing the show one night when you were out. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, both those were Monday night, that Kansas City and the Indy ones, when they were down big and made the comebacks.
We welcome our radio affiliates to the show, Ferrell and the Bench, Sirius Channel 159, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, LA, and Sports Map, Sports Byline Radio Networks in Houston and San Francisco, Armed Forces Radio. Happy Veterans Day. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Thanks for your service. Here we go. Pitt has the ball first in overtime at the 25-yard line. Pickett will hand it off, and they get absolutely nothing. Playing in the rain in Pittsburgh right now. They were up 23-6 at the start of the fourth quarter, and then the heels have come all the way back and tied it. They were getting 6.5. Now he's going to throw it, and they're going to get a first down. Nope, nice tackle. They're still 3 yards short. Demo has been all over the field. I think he had that pick, that deflection pick, too. It got him that last field goal that tied the game. Now on 3rd and 2, Pickett in trouble. He's going to run it. He'll get the first down. Takes a shot. Pouring rain in Pittsburgh. Ideal conditions for a Thursday nighter. I wanted to go to this game. I was right, too. This would have been a great game. Overtime, Heinz Field, 23 apiece. You can't get any better than this. Man, would I love to see Pitt win this game, North Carolina cover, and then to see the Dolphins beat the Ravens. I'd be loving life. I really would. All right, later, coming up in a few minutes, Joe Lisi with all of his college picks for Saturday in the biggest games on a bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell.
Ferrell on the Bench. Baltimore's going to punt the ball with 10:50 left. Still 15-13 Finns at Hard Rock in Miami. And by the way, the Pitt Panthers scored. Pickett threw a touchdown in overtime. They lead 30-23. Now it's 3rd down and 11 for North Carolina. Fail. Howell throws incomplete. Now it's 4th and 11. So the game comes down to this play. And how about this? Pitt will cover by a hook. Oh, the humanity, Carver. Mavi, I had this game at 6.5, and I'm going to get smoked. How awful is that?
That's brutal. I mean, that's all. There's the worst thing when you think you have it in regulation, and then it ends up going to overtime, and you end up losing it that way. How many times you see that in the NBA? We get like these tight games, and then all of a sudden it goes overtime. They blow them out by 10 or something like that. It's just so heartbreaking because you thought you had it in the bag.
God almighty, I had this, and then they're going to blow it. It's 4th and 11, and it's pouring down rain. So it's twice as hard to make a play. I mean, it is just like a bomb cyclone. It's pouring so bad. Everyone there is soaked. Everyone in the crowd is soaked. People are just look like they jumped in a lake and they're partying because it's really not cold. It's 65 and raining, but it's going to just get freezing cold in Pittsburgh over the next couple of days and pour down rain. And this same storm is headed to New York tomorrow. It's going to hammer us tomorrow here. 4th and 11, the game's on the line right here. I don't think he can do it in the pouring rain. They sent everybody. He's in trouble. He's in big trouble. Now he's going to heave it. That's not going to work. Picked off by Pitt. Game over. Wow. That's it. Pitt wins it 30-23. They blew it. How do you come all the way back and then lose the game like that? Unbelievable. So now I'm back on the Dolphins game. Looks like they fumbled the ball to it, but the Dolphins recovered. They're at their own 40. 9 minutes left in the game. Trying to finish this one off against the Ravens. Look at a big gainer on the ground over midfield. Although they had a huge second down in like 20, so it's 3rd down and 8 still. 9 minutes left. Can you believe it? Do you think they can hang on, or do you think once again a double-digit lead will be blown and the Ravens will catch another team napping with a double-digit lead? What do you think, Mafia?
I think this time the Dolphins actually hang on. I mean, not that Tua's done anything, but the defense has been incredible for Miami. They have not given Baltimore anything this whole game. They get a couple yards at a time at best, and then they're shot, you know, they're shut down, put on the ground. That's it. No first downs. They're just controlling Lamar Jackson and letting him get out in space and make some moves. They're not letting anybody get free on that, you know, the offensive side of the ball when they catch it. We've seen the strip that they had on Watkins. I think the defense is going to close this out for Miami.
But now it's 4th and 1. Do you go for it? I think they're going to leave him on the field. They're going to go for it. 4th and 1, Dolphins. They couldn't even get a yard at the 1 yard line. Why would they get one here? I think they're just going to try to draw him offside. Yeah, they're going to
try to draw
him offside. That's all they're doing. They're not even doing it. They get a delay a game instead. They're going to punt it.
I mean, honestly, that works like at that part of the field, that works well. Like one every 50 times these teams try it. How many times have we seen that actually work?
Never. It's never going to work.
The one time it does work, that guy gets cut the next day because it's just so obvious.
Unbelievable. So, you know, it's so dreadful. I was looking at the weather in Pittsburgh. It's pouring down rain there tonight for that Pitt game. And then all weekend long, it's going to pour down rain and be cold.
That's going to be a bumpy flight. You already got that little ass plane that goes that way anyway. Now you're going to have to take off and land in crappy weather.
Yeah, like, any other bad news you got for me? Yeah, it's, you know, it's those small commuter planes. It's not like, it's not that small, but it's not like a normal, you know, it's not like a normal United plane. It's a small one. It's, you know, city to city one. Like, you know, Pittsburgh to New York, whatever. It's just a 1 hour flight. It's one of the smaller planes, but it is what it is. Hopefully we'll get out. I mean, aren't we supposed to have some like dramatic? I think that storm that's in Pittsburgh tonight is coming here in the morning. It's supposed to be here tonight. Like, so tomorrow, 100% rain all day. I mean, literally at 7 a.m., it's going to start raining. It is going to rain all day. Well, it says it's going to stop at 1 o'clock, so you never know. I mean, it looks like a disaster. Like, if it rains all morning, right, at the airport, if it rains all morning, don't all the flights get delayed and backed up? I mean, I think they do.
Depends on how bad the rain is.
Yeah, well, if it's really bad, they delay them and they don't fly in it. Yeah. And then they fly them later, right?
I think it's more about the wind and how bad that is than the rain. You know, if you get lightning, that can obviously shake things up. But usually it's more about how bad the wind is coming across those, you know, the wet runways.
Bastard. The last thing I want to do tomorrow is sit in the airport all day. Honestly, it's like a federal prison. I hate the airport to begin with. Look at the Ravens at their own 1 foot line. Your boy Jackson throws it out to the seven, but they were at the 1 foot line. They got nothing but problems with 7.5 minutes to go. They got to score fast. I mean, the Dolphins have it all going tonight. They're dancing. They're partying. They're having a good time. It's all have shimmying. It's all evolving. Anyway, we'll see if they can do it. I don't think they can. I know that much. I did want to look at some of these other games tonight. There's a lot of games. We're going to talk to Joe Lisi next about college football, but right now the Heat lead the Clippers 44-32, 8 minutes left in the second. The Pacers are beating the Jazz 111-96 in Utah with a minute 54 left, and the Raptors beat the Sixers 115-109. I can't even believe that. That is crazy. Hockey tonight, Avalanche Van Fleet pounding the Canucks. What's that?
Van Vliet with the clinching three-pointer at the end of that game from the corner.
Yeah, they beat him. Avalanche 7-1 on the Canucks. Vegas leads the Wild 2-0, 10 left in the second. Ducks lead the Crack 3-1 in Seattle, 13 left in the second. Penguins beat the Panthers in a shootout. Oilers over the Bruins 5-3. Canadians doubled up the Flames 4-2. Kings 7 in a row, 2-0 over the Senators. Devils blanked the Islanders 4-0. Capitals 2-0 over the Red Wings. Predators 4-3 in overtime over the Blues. And the Jets beat the Sharks 4-1. I had a terrible night in the NHL and NBA. Jesus, I gotta get out of here before I get drowned in all this. Seriously, terrible. Oh, my God, what a terrible night betting. I mean, I could hit this Dolphin spread, and I hit Pitt on the money line, but I had that North Carolina 6 and a hook, and they lose by 7. I've seen it all. I've had it all collapse on me tonight. There you go. It is what it is. I mean, I got to tell you, too, it's hard enough waiting for these college basketball and NBA odds, Mafia. It drives me nuts waiting for these spreads. I mean, it just never happens. Here's Jackson fumbling. That's a fumble and another hizzy. Are they going to call him down? Wow, they're going to say he was down. It's Pharrell on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, so Baltimore has moved down to the 5-yard line of the Dolphins. Bateman had a big catch. Now the touchdown pass to Andrews, and here come the Ravens. Another double-digit comeback, and there's still 4 minutes left in the game. And now it's 15-9, and they'll figure out what they want to do. Either or, they're making another comeback. That's all they do. It's unbelievable. This would be the fourth time that they've come back from double digits down. By the way, Rudy Gobert, Spida Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and Miles Turner all ejected after Gobert and Turner start a fight in that Pacer-Jazz game in Salt Lake. 15-10 after the Tucker extra point. So a fight in the Jazz-Pacer game late. But I told you the Pacers were kicking the Jazz ass inexplicably tonight in Utah. Joe Lisi joins us to talk about college football on Saturday. Joe, what did you think of the Pitt overtime win in the rain in Pittsburgh over North Carolina tonight? Huge comeback by the Heels, down 23-6. They tie it up late, and they lose in overtime in the driving rain.
Yeah, amazing. Typical Narduzzi in Pittsburgh, right? A big lead, and somehow, some way, they allow the opponent to come back in. But I said it before. I talked about it with Carver earlier. That offensive line for North Carolina is horrible. 5 sacks allowed in the first half. I mean, he was sacked 31 times entering that ballgame with Wake Forest. If the offensive line was only, if it was half as good as it was last year, they would have about 3 more wins on the schedule. But it's unfortunate. And just at the end, in the overtime, after Pitt scores, it was a torrential downpour. So everything went Pitt's way in the overtime. But credit, they deserve to win tonight.
There's no doubt. I thought, I got to give Hal credit. I thought he looked really good in the fourth quarter, bringing him back. And then in the overtime, he had no chance on that fourth down play, running for his life, running backwards, trying to throw that pass, and he got it picked off. But I thought the guy gave it a hell of a game tonight, hell of an effort.
Yeah, he did. And if you watch their game, Scotty, throughout the year, I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Notre Dame. I mean, he was in striking distance to get that cover, went toe-to-toe with Wake Forest. So they've been in ball games. Even the first game of the year with Virginia Tech, when he had 4 new wide receivers. I mean, he's a gutty quarterback. That's the one thing I think that will translate on the next level. Now, is he as elite as some of the quarterbacks that we've seen come out in recent years? I'm not so sure, but I think he can make a ball club. I think he could be a second or a third round selection. Again, expecting him to be the next Russell Wilson or the next type of quarterback that just lights it up, I just don't see it. I still think he's a little bit raw at this point in his career.
He looks like Baker Mayfield to me.
Yeah, he does. He does a little bit, but I think the one thing about Baker that was a little bit better is that Baker played well against elite competition. Now, you could say the offensive line was a little bit better. Baker had one of the highest completion percentage coming out of college. I mean, yeah, Howell has done it, but playing against ACC opponents in big games, he typically struggled, you know, especially this year. So at the end of the day, half of it was the offensive line. Half of it was that he's still a little bit raw. But at the end of the day, I think he will make an NFL team. I think he's like a second rounder, in my opinion, right here, right now, after tonight's performance.
I don't know if people just saw this, but the Dolphins had like a they got an unbelievable lucky play after they're up 15-10 and the Ravens kicked off. Tua fakes the handoff, throws down the sideline. Guy catches the ball at his own 45 and races all the way down inside the 10-yard line. They got the ball first and goal inside the 10 on the Ravens, and they can basically ice this game away any way you slice it right now. Actually, they're at about the 11-yard line, but, I mean, the bottom line is that was a beautiful play. Now they run it down to the 2, and they can get a first down at the 1. They're in business. Flag on the play, though, so there's another flag. Anyway, what do you think of this? Can you imagine if the Dolphins beat the Ravens tonight and then, like, Pittsburgh can tie them for first with a win over the Lions?
Scotty, I'm a Dolphin fan, so I'd be the first one to say I did not see this coming. And at the end of the day, I mean, if you just go back to last week with how many underdogs covered and won the ball game outright, and now here we are kicking off Thursday night with an outright win and cover. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the dogs were covering the last week now. I mean, not just covering, they're winning the ball game outright. So are the books just getting all these lines mixed up where we have just so many dominant favorites lose outright? I mean, I've never seen a weekend like this.
It's crazy. What did you think of that play to Wilson right there? That was insane.
I know. That's you know what it is with Miami? The passing game, I could live with Tua, Brissett if he comes in. We have no running game, though, Scott. So for this team to make a run, and Gaskins has 21 yards on the night, I mean, that's going to be whether Miami makes a run or not. If they can run the football, they're a halfway decent team. They could take the pressure off their defense. Problem is, they become completely one-dimensional against better opponents, and then that's where they lose. So hopefully they could turn it around.
What did you think of Tua when he came in the game for Brissett after he hurt his knee?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, what's going on? Is it more a Flores thing? I mean, he was banged up. He wasn't supposed to be the emergency quarterback, but then he comes in. They were trading for Watson. They're not trading for Watson. I think it, listen, I'll say it right now. If Watson, all the legal problems are behind him, I want him on the Miami Dolphins immediately. I'm not a big buyer of Tua, but at the end of the day, if he's our quarterback, we gotta have consistency. He can't be switching quarterbacks every other week. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think Tua at least deserves to play out the rest of the season. If he's healthy, give him a shot. I think Jacoby Brissett's washed up. Even though he got the start tonight, to me, he's completely washed up.
Can you believe these, first and five from the five and the play calling, just run it up the middle every time. Like, they need to score a touchdown here and finish them off.
They're playing for a field goal. That's the problem. That's what some of these coaches do. I mean, here, run.
That's not good enough. That's not good enough. They'd be up eight.
I know. And you're going to give the ball back to Lamar Jackson that just went down the field in a minute and a half. So, I mean, I don't understand how – it's ridiculous.
You got to try to score here. Forget that field goal. It's second and four. Put the ball in the effing end zone. I mean, do something. Don't run it up the middle again. I mean, you got this guy Tagovailoa, bust out, roll out, do something. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And they got Gesicki. I mean, what are you doing, bro? It's just unbelievable to me. How do you not score here after that beautiful play down the sideline? You got to be now another flag, illegal. Oh, my God, illegal procedure. They're so awful. They can't get out of their own way. This is the second time they've done this. They got down to the 1 yard line. They couldn't score, Joe.
I know. But Scott, this has been the Dolphins season in a nutshell. I mean, go back to some of the games. I mean, they lost two games by a field goal. I mean, go back to the Atlanta game. I mean, they were in that ball game from start to finish. Somehow, some way, they let Matt Ryan drive right down the field in a minute and a half. I mean, if we score a field goal here, the concern is, okay, great, we're up eight, but our defense just allowed a Lamar Jackson to work down the field in a minute and a half. It's not like this hasn't happened. I mean, this has happened now and back to Jacksonville, Atlanta, and then it'll happen tonight if they allow Jackson to score if they kick a field goal. They got to punch it in here. I'm on second down. I think I'm behind you here.
Well, yeah. Well, now it's gonna be third and one. Gaskin ran it down. He's a yard short of the first down. So, but there's a timeout. So, the Ravens have only one timeout left and the 2 minute warning, and the Dolphins have two timeouts left.
See, that's where the analytics got, like, they ran the football so that Baltimore could call their timeouts. In that type of situation, it's better to be up 12 or 13 and have them have two timeouts, because at the end of the day, would you want them to have no timeouts and up eight? They could go down the field and score in a minute. I don't understand. I mean, I understand
you're telling me here it is, it's third and two. So it wasn't third and one. It's third and two. And they're going to try to run it again. And Gaskett's got the touchdown. I think he's in the end zone. They're going to mark him short again. Are you kidding me? They got the first down, though. I thought he was in the end zone, but they're marking him down at the half yard line. But he's I got to see it in slow mo. His knee was down. He was down. Good call. But they got the first down. So now Baltimore can't do anything now. They only have one timeout and the 2 minute warning. They can't stop them. And they got four downs from the half yard line. I mean, can they finally stick it in now? I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope so. But again, I've been a Dolphin fan since Don Strock and Tommy Vigorito.
When we come back, Joe will go through a litany of big games on Saturday in college football. In fact, we'll give him Friday night Cincinnati South Florida game as well. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, Farrell on the Bench. We're talking to Joe Lisi, football full circle. You can catch him every day, noon, on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius 159. And he does pro and college back-to-back, 2 hours. And he's on the bench every week talking about his college football plays. All right, Joe, tomorrow night, Cincinnati and South Florida down in Tampa. And Cincinnati's laying 23.
Love them. I love them this week. I think they absolutely steamroll USF tomorrow night. I think the inexperience of the quarterback, the offense and defensive line play for you, Cincinnati's the difference. I've been a big backer of South Florida. They've gotten some covers playing well, but they've given up back-to-back games to ECU and Houston, over 250 rushing yards. That offensive line for Cincinnati going to wear them down. The fact that they haven't covered in 3 weeks, they're 5 overall in the college football playoff rankings. I think they start fast. 6 o'clock, they dominate this ballgame.
Saturday, Notre Dame in Charlottesville against Virginia, and the Irish are laying 5.5.
Yeah, I lean to Virginia if Brennan Armstrong's healthy. That's a concern. He cracked the rib against BYU. He's supposedly coming back. I like Virginia if he plays, but at the end of the day, I also like the over 64.5 because I think Virginia's defense is horrible. Notre Dame should get into the 30s on their own. I think Virginia can match them if Armstrong plays. So like Virginia, but I like the over as well.
Tough game for Alabama, laying 51 to New Mexico State in Tuscaloosa.
I'm going to lay, I know the ATS spreads are against Alabama. The fact that they almost lost the ball game outright to LSU, I know it's a high number, but I would lay it with Alabama. I'm not going to be betting it, but if I had to bet it, I would take the Alabama side. There's no way. I don't think Nick looks to put up 70 in this ballgame.
Michigan and Penn State in Miserable Valley. Michigan laying 1.5 at Penn State.
Yeah, this is becoming one of my best bets of the day. Love Penn State. I mean, Penn State's converted 61% over the last two games against both Maryland and Ohio State on third downs. They have the secondary advantage. They have the quarterback advantage. They're playing at home. Michigan is basically 14-11 last 4 years on the road. On the flip side, Penn State 32-6 straight up. I think they win this ball game by double digits. The more I break it down, the more I feel Penn State is the right side and they win this ballgame convincingly.
Wow, and blow them out, apparently. Oklahoma and Baylor and Waco, the number's 5.5 for the Sooners.
Yeah, I lean to Baylor here to play this game close because they can run the football. The fact that they're coming off a loss to TCU, I think they'll be a little focused. And to keep in mind that Dave Aranda was the D coordinator when he went up against Lincoln Riley with Jalen Hurts in the college football playoff semifinal. So I feel like he's got a good read on what Lincoln Riley will want to do. I love the way that defense is playing. And Caleb Williams is a freshman still, so I'm going to roll with Baylor in that matchup.
Mississippi State going to Auburn. Auburn's laying 5.5.
Yep, I love Miss State here. I think they have the quarterback advantage. Their defense is a little bit underrated. The way they played against Arkansas, Will Rogers put up 417. Auburn coming off an emotional loss to Texas A&M. I know they're playing at home. They've won two straight. But Mike Leach looking to become bowl eligible. As long as it doesn't come down to that kicker, Ruiz, he cost them the game last week. Cost me that game going into overtime with laying to 3.5 with Arkansas. I would have had a shot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Northwestern in Madtown at Camp Randall against Wisconsin. Wisconsin laying a fat 24 and a hook.
Yeah, Wisconsin's without Ches Malusi, their starting running back. I don't think that matters. It just comes down to the offensive line play. But Northwestern won this game last year, also covered back-to-back games. I lean to Northwestern with the big number here. It's a rivalry. They play them traditionally tough, and I like Fitzgerald over Crist.
All right, Utah at Tucson against Arizona, laying 24.
Yeah, the potential look ahead with Oregon scares me. It's back-to-back road games for Utah. I would close my eyes and take Arizona. I don't love it, but that's if I had to bet that game, I would have to go with the underdog.
Georgia is in Knoxville against Tennessee, laying 20.
Love Tennessee. Not, I mean, I think they keep it well within the number. It's down to 19.5 on FanDuel. I think the tempo will get to Georgia. Georgia wins, clearly. But Tennessee does cover this number. Biggest game since the Ole Miss game. Fighting for bowl contention. And I told Carver, I also, when they post it, like Tennessee over their total. They don't have it up on FanDuel yet.
So your boy Jackson just got picked off by the Dolphins in the end zone. That's lights out. Game over. 22-10. Dolphins win.
Nice win. Nice win. Really good win for them. Could they build on it?
Purdue. Could they build on it? Purdue and Ohio State at the shoe. Ohio State's laying 21.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it. I think this is a bad matchup for Purdue. They can't run the football. Completely one-dimensional. You could get away with that with Michigan State secondary. I think it'll be a different animal in the horseshoe. Might be close for a quarter or two in the second half. I feel Ohio State pulls away, makes a statement, no look ahead to Michigan State.
Minnesota's in Iowa City at Kinnick against the Hawkeyes. Iowa laying 5.
Yeah, I got it at 5.5 Sunday night. I really like Minnesota here. P.J. Fleck, 3-0 on the road this year. Now, Iowa's won 6 straight in the series by 11.3 points per game. But at the end of the day, both of these teams are fighting. They're both 4-2 in the Big Ten West, coming off a terrible loss to Illinois. I like Tanner Morgan. I like this blue-collar Minnesota team. Catching as long as it's over 4, if it starts to get under 3, then I'm a little concerned, but I'm still leaning to Minnesota to win the ball game outright.
Texas San Antonio laying 33 to Southern Miss.
I would told Carver's going to hate me. I told him take the 33.5 with Southern Miss. I know they're a covering machine, UTSA, but I can't lay 33.5 in this spot. The pressure's on them. They're undefeated. There's no way I'm going to lay 33.5 with that team, even though they're deserving. I get it, but Southern Miss played North Texas very tough in the first half. They found a little consistency. I would take the points in that matchup.
Maryland's in East Lansing against Michigan State. The Sparty laying 13.
Yeah, one of my better picks. I like Maryland here. Fighting for bowl contention. Michigan State allowed over 500 yards to Purdue. And Maryland played toe-to-toe with Penn State for a half. Put up over 300 on that secondary. I think they could potentially strike the upset. I like Maryland. It's down to 12.5 here with Loxley and the crew.
A&M at Oxford against Ole Miss. A&M's laying 2.5 as a road fave.
I love Ole Miss at night with Matt Corral. And Texas A&M is 1-3 straight. But at the end of the day, I think this comes down to the quarterback position. Calzada's been better. Matt Corral is much better than him. Tempo, I think, gets to A&M. I mean, both defenses, I mean, can stop the run for the most part. A&M's a little bit better in the secondary. But I like Ole Miss here catching a short number, 2.5.
NC State's at Wake. Wake coming off the loss to North Carolina, laying 2 here at home.
Yep. They won this ball game 45-42 last year. They have the better defensive front. I think that's the difference. Holding opposing offenses to 92 rushing yards per game, but more importantly, elite third down defense, 26% on third downs. Wake coming off an emotional loss. I think NC State's the more complete team. They win this ball game outright.
LSU and Baton Rouge getting 3 from Arkansas.
My heart tells me LSU, but my gut and then everything I break down tells me Arkansas. Arkansas, obviously, bulk eligible now. Think there's no pressure on this team. More pressure on LSU to win out. Some issues with the quarterback, Max Johnson. They're also talking about potentially burning Nussmeier, the freshman. I don't like that. I'm going to go with Arkansas and the more complete team, better offensive line at this point. Give me Arkansas in this ballgame, laying a short number.
Stillwater, TCU at Oklahoma State. The Cowboys laying 12.
This game scares me because I've been on Oak State all year, and, you know, I just don't want them to overlook Chandler Morris. I was on TCU last week. They played very well with Jerry Kill. I'm going to lean to Oak State to cover this line, but I don't love it. I'm a little suspicious. That line has me nervous.
Washington State in outs and against Oregon. The Ducks are laying 14.
I think they could cover this line. I don't think there's a look ahead with Utah. The fact that they're at home, I think they're focused. I think they're coming off a cover against Washington. I think they follow through with a dominant win over Washington State at home.
Nevada, San Diego State, a great game. San Diego State laying 3.
I'm going to lay it with San Diego State. I just think that in order to beat Nevada, you need to run the football. That's what San Diego State does. They're giving up well over 4.5 yards per carry. To me, that favors the offensive line of San Diego State. They're going to get them into an ugly game, in my opinion. Carson Strong, better quarterback. But at the end of the day, give me the better offensive defensive line. I think it's the Aztecs in this ballgame.
Tomorrow night, Boise State hosting Wyoming, laying 13.5.
Taking the 13.5 with Wyoming. I'm not sold on Boise. I don't care. I think the more physical team, offense and defensive lines, is Wyoming. I know they've been inconsistent, but catching double digits, I don't feel like Boise should be giving anybody double digits. And I know they've stepped up in some spots, but at the end of the day, to me, they're just a 500 ball club. I like Wyoming in this spot.
How about Miami at Florida State? The Canes are laying 2.5.
I like Florida State here, Scotty. I think they, you know, Van Dyke's a freshman. He's going to Tallahassee. I mean, Florida State has not looked good, you know, a couple weeks. They should have beat Clemson. They couldn't. And then last week was a tough game against NC State. I think they can go toe-to-toe with Miami here. I'm going to take the points. I think they
Miami's
strike the
been
upside.
Playing really good football lately, Joe. Van Dyke's been putting up 400-yard games and upsetting teams and winning. Florida State hasn't won in a month and a half.
I know, but I, you know, they've played better. It's just how you look at it. It's a rivalry game. I know Van Dyke's playing well. I just think that Florida State can run on them. That's the breakdown that I'm looking at. I mean, granted, I agree with you 100%. I mean, this is one game that it could go a coin flip either way. Wouldn't shock me if Miami runs them out of the building in Tallahassee. But at the end of the day, they're 4-6. They have two games to step up and be bowl eligible, Florida State. They're going to give it their best shot. And in order to beat Miami and keep Van Dyke on the sidelines, you need to run the football. That's what they can do. So playing at home, I'll give it to Norville. I don't love them, though.
Yeah, I like Miami to win that game. I don't care where they play it. All right, Joe, great stuff. Enjoy all the games. Friday, Saturday, tons of action. Always a pleasure having you on the bench, brother. Have a kick-ass weekend. I'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, brother. Love the show.
Thanks, brother. Joe Lisi, Football Full Circle with us. Now I've shifted to, after the Dolphins won the game and covered for me, I had them with the 8.5. I've shifted to the Clippers and Heat game on a bench.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So Vegas leads the Wild 3-0 after two periods in Sin City at the T-Mobile, and the Ducks lead the Crack after two in Seattle, 4-2, and the Avs checked in with that 7-1 win over the Canucks. I'm watching this game right now. The Heat lead the Clippers 66-65 with 8 minutes or so left, and Clippers now get a bucket up 67-66 over the Heat. Raptors already winners over the Sixers in Philly, 115-109. The Raptors are playing good ball. Pacers upset the Jazz by 11 in Salt Lake. Big fight broke out in that game. Bunch of guys, Toss, Gobert, Mitchell, Ingles, and Turner for the Pacers tossed. All four of those guys tossed from that game. There you go. Pitt with a big overtime win over North Carolina tonight, 30-23. And how about the Dolphins upsetting the Baltimore Ravens 22-10 at Hard Rock? And now the Steelers can move into a tie for first place if they beat the Lions on Sunday in Pittsburgh. It's supposed to rain for that game and be 41 and crappy at Heinz. It was pouring down rain there tonight for the Pitt win over North Carolina. Big comeback by North Carolina, forced overtime, but they still lost. Pitt and Pickett get it done by 7. And North Carolina was getting 6.5. They didn't cover. I'll see you Tuesday. I'm back on Coast to Coast and on the bench on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.